Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this June the 13th on the West Coast, now June the 14th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome those who may be listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and hope you find tonight's show informative and interesting. Well, for a number of years, even in my writings, but certainly on this show, I and my guests have been talking about the fact that the U.S. government created and sponsored Al-Qaeda. But now we have a fairly recent admission from someone, and someone high up in the government and high up in world politics, and I'll be sharing that clip with you in a few moments. But first of all, we are going to slip away. That's the Pat Metheny Group from their album, Letter from Home. It's called Slip Away. And this is Greta Van Susteren and Hillary Clinton. And I guess we could call this Slip of the Tongue.
If you think if we walked away from this, didn't give them money today, it would be worse for us from a security standpoint.
I do. We're building a relationship that just did not exist. I said in our last trip when you were with me that we had a huge trust deficit, in part because the United States had, to be fair, we had helped to create the problem we're now fighting.
How?
Because when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, we had this brilliant idea that we were going to come to Pakistan and create a force of Mujahideen, equip them with Stinger missiles and everything else to go after the Soviets inside Afghanistan. And we were successful. The Soviets left Afghanistan. And then we said, great, goodbye. Leaving these trained people who were fanatical in Afghanistan and Pakistan, leaving them well armed, creating a mess, frankly, that at the time we didn't really recognize. We were just so happy to see the Soviet Union fall. And we thought, okay, fine, we're okay now. Everything's going to be so much better. Now you look back, the people we're fighting today, we were supporting in the fight against the Soviets.
And there you have it, folks. I first wrote about that in my Wanta piece that was published in the Idaho Observer in January of 2007. I was talking about that for a number of years prior to becoming a journalist or even a talk show host. I was calling into shows and sharing this certainly with my circle of friends studying the bogus history we were taught in school. And we have an outright admission by the current United States Secretary of State that we basically created Al-Qaeda. We've been saying that all along. And now you have it. You have the spin. We're probably going to be all over the board tonight. And when I say all over the board, as far as the outline for tonight's show, tonight's guest is a talk show host in his own right, a researcher, a whistleblower, a naturopath, and a PhD. And he's my regular Monday night guest on Evident Footprints, my good friend, Dr. A. True Ott. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Well, good evening to you, Don, and a pleasure to be on the show again with you. As you know, it's been quite an interesting 4 or 5 days. Today was very exhausting, very tiring. You know, it's never fun meeting with private investigators and detectives and attorneys. But that's where these things, the last events of the last week or 2 weeks is headed. I had a gentleman come to me with an audio tape structure of what went on in the conspiracy conference where our protagonists came in with their bodyguards. They were so afraid of some kind of...
You mean antagonists.
Or anti-protagonists.
Yeah.
Yeah. Golly. Yeah, see, I'm tired. I'm tired.
Yes, I understand.
I'm physically and mentally just about ready to take a long vacation. Anyway, bottom line is, and we don't want to give this any more energy, they're diverting enough away from good works and good efforts right now. But, Don, it's sad. It truly is sad that these things have to go on. And I got to just tell you, piecing together bits here, bits there, I've spent a lot of money so far, and I'm going to spend even more to get to the bottom of this. Nobody comes and accuses me of murder and accuses you of murder and other people associated with me. Nobody can come up and take a gentleman with such a long record of public service, I'm talking about Mr. Ted Gunderson, and drag his name through the mud. Nobody's perfect, Don. You've got your frailties. You've got problems. I've got shortcomings. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I admit my mistakes when I make them. I ask for forgiveness when I make mistakes and I move on. I've made mistakes. You've made mistakes. Everybody listening to this show, because we're human, we are, you know, sinners. We aren't perfect.
We're not perfect, no.
We're not. And we make mistakes and we go on. To attack people viciously, to attack people to, you know, solely with the intent of trying to ruin their income, ruin their good name, ruin their family status, no, this is not going to stand. It's just flat out not going to stand. The, you know, but I'm going back through all of my correspondence, you know, the last year, my, you know, what went on, because we've, you know, the attorneys that I'm working with, the private investigators, the case that we're building, we have to find out everything, you know. I mean, anything and everything. That, have I made mistakes? Have I been volatile? Yeah, I'll admit it. You know, I shouldn't have said a few things in an email, but I was emotional. Again, I was emotional because, again, of all the outlandish things to accuse you and me by implication of murdering Don Harkins, the Idaho Observer, our good friend who brought us together. Mm-hmm. We would not know each other without the introduction and joint recommendation of Don Harkins, who's a pretty doggone good judge of character. You know, to have all this, is, you know, it just infuriated me. And so I did write some things that I normally don't write, and I apologize for that initial, you know, email in August. And the attorneys have said, you know, okay, you weren't out of line with the background of what you did, of, you know, what you've been accused of, when you see what was being posted to begin with to start this whole thing off, right? But here's my point. What I'm just trying to figure out, why attack me, why attack you, and why attack Ted Gunderson, okay?
Amongst others.
Amongst others, but...
And I think that's just obfuscation, that sort of muddying the waters to make us look or sound like other people who have many years ago been outed as disinfo agents and agent provocateurs. So,
well, agent provocateurs and disinfo co-intel pro agents don't do what myself and Ted Gunderson and others did last fall, Don. We had a special conference to put out all, on the table all of the salient information on satanic ritual abuse and how that ties into the disappearance of innocent children on a worldwide scale. We held a three-day conference in Ogden, Utah. Dane Phillips sponsored that financially, you know, paid for airfare, paid for everything, you know, substantial amount of money out of his pocket. We all met. We had, I did a videotaped presentation where I showed the, you know, where this links into a certain religious structure, okay? To me, it's a satanic structure that goes back to the very days of Babylon itself.
That's correct.
After I finished my three-hour presentation, Ted Gunderson was moved to tears. He said, I have never seen a more thorough presentation, repeating all the pieces together on this. He said, after lunch, we'll come back, and he says, I'm going to open up my files like they'd never been opened up before. So we came back after lunch, and he came back in very upset. His hotel room had been entered, papers stolen, and papers taken. He said, we have been infiltrated. There's agents here who don't want this information out. For the next 4.5 to 5 hours, Ted Gunderson opened up all the information he had on the group called the Finders, the CIA Finders, that tie into certain individuals in a very dark, you know, organization behind the scenes. It appears to be very user-friendly, very family-friendly. We're talking Child and Protective Services. Now, you know, Don, that you were warned off from investigating this organization nationwide on the federal level. And the ties into, you know, this covert group called the Finders. Ted Gunderson literally wrote the book on this, trying to get exposure to this on a national level and trying to get some body in the Justice Department to begin to start prosecuting these heinous crimes. What I'm getting at is Ted Gunderson, John DeCamp was there. We had survivors of this ritual abuse that were there to testify. We had anybody that was basically everybody that was anybody in this on this area meeting in this conference, and we found immediately we were under huge surveillance here in this setting, Don. Now I'm just convinced now, after putting all this together, that information was presented in that conference that cannot get out to the public. In putting together my defense, and actually a defense is a good offense, I was wanting to put together all of the videotape testimonies to basically have my attorneys present to the FBI in San Francisco and Salt Lake on what was actually discussed at the conference. And you know what happened, Don, today?
No, tell us.
We cannot find any record, videotape record of this information. It's all been obliterated from a hacking in the computers where it was stored. This is on electronic file. The actual hard videotapes have just kind of turned up missing. Isn't that just interesting?
Hmm.
Yeah. We thought they were all safe on a hard drive. The hard drive has been hacked, and it's all gone.
Remarkable. So you have confirmation then that this is the reason.
Well, I'm going to maybe shock you a little bit tonight, Don.
One of several reasons, we'll say.
I'm going to do something that may seem a little strange to you. I'm going to give Sherry Kane and Don Nicola or Lenny Horowitz a huge benefit of the doubt tonight. Okay, I'm not going to lash out. I received an email. Well, let me back up, and I don't mind being public with this at this point. I want to think the best of people. I know Len Horowitz has a tremendous ego. There's no doubt about that, and I'm not saying that bad or good. It's just an observation. You know, he doesn't like to be corrected, doesn't like to be questioned, and he lashes out very quickly. And that's just personality. I've noticed that, and I've seen that with my interaction with Dr. Joseph Paleo and others over the years. Now, let me just say what's happened so far. On advice of counsel and advice of a private investigator, I was told to go back and print out every email that I'd ever received from Horowitz and Kane since last summer. And so I did, and I emailed Sherry Kane three times. I responded to a very terse angry email from Horowitz. I did a little bit of rubbing sand in the face. You know, I gave it back as well as he gave, which was, you know, adding fuel to the fire a little bit. But that's all I did, Don, was I had one email to Horowitz, three emails to Kane, and that was the end of it. I have not, I've just chosen to ignore the rest of their attacks until just recently. But here's my point. There was an email sent out to me from Horowitz with all with these you know, these attack pieces all in the body, but there was a very bizarre email that was just stuck in there. It didn't seem to be long. There was no communication thread. It was an email from Jeff Wren. So while it wasn't even didn't have his name on it, but I recognized his unique personal email address. And as I read it, I immediately, you know, saw red. I had a knee-jerk reaction because I had been in touch with Jeff on, you know, a lot about different things. And what he had written to Horowitz's personal email was quite, shall we say, submarining, derogatory of me. Basically, the email said that I never saw a conspiracy I didn't like. In other words, intimating that I was, you know, way off of base on everything, basically. And I thought, my goodness, he's playing me, you know, for a fool and supporting Horowitz. And it made me livid. So I did send off, you know, a blistering email to Rents. I said some things in the email that I was hot. I said he was a snake in the grass and a backstabber. Jeff Rents immediately, I mean, within seconds, answered my email and said, I honestly don't know who sent this. This is not me that sent this. This is, he says, what is said here is true as far as certain things, but I did not write this email. And he proceeded to give me evidence as to the dates and times that his email and server were hacked, and things not only in this matter but other matters had been sent out originating from his email address. The dates that he was hacked were the same dates I was hacked on. How is that? He didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, it suddenly...
So you both came to the realization simultaneously.
Somebody is out there manipulating. Okay. Yeah. Somebody has hacked. There's no doubt about my computers being hacked, both business and personal. There's no doubt about that. Now, here... Okay, put yourself in Sherry Kane's position, as I'm going to do right now. She receives some angry emails from me. She's even more angry, so she responds, you know, in a nasty way. And okay, I let it go. I just said, well, you know, it's no sense fighting this dog, whipping this dog anymore. So I forget about it. I think it's, you know, what she was doing is wrong, accusing you, etc., etc. There's certain things there's no excuse for. But here she receives this email from this guy who she thinks is me. Why? Because it's got the same topic in the topic bar that I used in my conversation email with her. And it's got a word-for-word sentence, something like, I try to look for the best in everybody. It's exactly the same copied into this body of this email from this guy named David Main. So immediately she says, this is true ought. This is an alias. And this continues with some very cryptic emails, probably emails that she's not even posting, that I don't even know about or anybody else doesn't know about. There's probably some pretty good reason why she's upset. Okay? Now, from my standpoint, I'm being attacked viciously. From your standpoint, you're being attacked viciously. Ted Gunderson's standpoint, he's being just, you know, he's turning over in his hospital bed. My point is, somebody is agitating all sides. Okay? I forwarded the email that I received from Len Horowitz's email to Jeff Renz. Today, Jeff sent me an email from Sherry Kane, says, how do you feel about changing your email? I didn't change the email. Somebody else did, though. I don't think Sherry Kane changed the email. I don't think Len Horowitz changed the email, Don. I submit somebody is out there causing us to fight amongst each other. And knowing our personalities, you know, the NSA has the software to know personality traits to cause some, you know, put some kerosene on the fire and some strachanites.
Turn on HARP.
Exactly. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm not justifying this yellow journalism. I think it's despicable. You know, you would think before you begin to attack somebody who's been in the business, as I've had, of exposing libel and falsehoods for 20-plus years, you'd think that people like Len Horowitz, who has spent all this time with 17 books, countless videotapes, lectures, building up a good name himself. I mean, let's be honest, he's got a great name here, you know, a great research name. Why would suddenly he just flip and go off, or I call it off the deep end, accusing me without verifying really what he's saying? I that's what blows me away, Don. It would take all of three hours at the max to verify that email address of David Main, to find out who it is, what it is, if it's really tied to TrueAut or not. Now, whatever we say or do here, that didn't happen. Now, that is indefensible and inexcusable, because it's just not good journalism. All right? So I put that out there tonight, Don, and again, my attorneys, my investigators, we just want to get to the bottom of this thing. You know, why should I go spend a lot of money for a libel suit, you know, a large suit, if maybe both parties are innocent? You see where I'm getting at here?
Well, it's one thing to be innocent of having sent emails or whatever, but it's another thing to somehow translate that into someone else committing murder, you know, alleging someone committed murder.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's sensationalism.
Yes.
And it's yellow journalism. It's the classic worst case example of yellow journalism. But I'm just saying that knowing her volatility, knowing Len's, you know, short fuse and quick anchor characteristics, somebody out there sending out incendiary emails would get it all happening, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens, you know, here is the Hegelian dialectic again. They want the end result where, you know, two, you know, voices of reason are attacking each other to the point where both are destroyed. And it appears to be working, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. The truth is not dispensable. The people are, of course, that's their thinking. But the truth has, and the nature of your work, the nature of my work, and anyone who's after the truth and finds it and reports it and shows the anomalies in the written history, shows the corruption that's currently going on, and after a while you sort of get a knack for it. You can sense it, sort of like a bloodhound senses what the people can't see. That's why the sheriff and his posse take bloodhounds with them to track down some an escaped prisoner from a prison or a murder suspect. Okay, you use a tool that works. You don't go consult some fortune teller about it. You don't fantasize and make up stories to ruin the reputations of people that had nothing to do other than the fact that they either were acquainted with a person or were involved with them in as associates. In my case, my association with Don Harkins was strictly on the telephone, email, and him publishing my work in his newspaper.
Yeah, you don't travel and you don't fly unless you absolutely have to.
Yes, yes. So, you know, I never met him. So the accusations are inflammatory, intended to be reversed because we've already exposed the truth, you see. We've exposed the truth. Whether somebody can handle that or not is another issue. But it also exposes a big secret that's been held on this planet for many, many years. And they don't want that secret exposed. I've said that over and over. That is a part of my work. That has been somewhat a part of your work. But
indeed. And so, don't get me wrong, Don. I want to make it very clear that there's smart minds are working together in kind of a summit meeting here, trying to get this piece together. The first scenario, a possibility, is just what I said here, that both parties are innocent. I would love to have it be that way. I really would. The second alternative is that one party is indeed a very vicious COINTELPRO operation. Now, we've been accused of doing that viciously by the other camp. And it's just, again, I try to let people know I'm just in defensive mode here, trying to literally answer charges with the best I can. It's just look in the mirror here. Everything that they say we're doing can be just as easily reflected back on what they're doing.
Well, that's the Hegelian dialectic, isn't it?
Exactly. So I'm saying that, the second side of this possibility is that that Cain and Horowitz are, whether they're willing or not, whether they're conscious of it or not, perhaps they are Manchurians, perhaps they are, mind-controlled by people higher up, and they don't even know what they're attacking and why they're attacking in a conscious level. Now, that's a possibility, and it's possible that any and all of us are that way as well. So all we have to do, again, is look at what are the connections, what's the history, education, work-related, That's why I dug what I, did what I did in my piece that I post on Hegelian dialectics. I went back into Dr. Horowitz's own declarations, his own CV, his own resume, and just took a good, hard, objective look at who he worked for, why, and how. I still find it very strange, Don, that a gentleman of his stature coming from a Eastern Jewish family, it just seems very strange, his ties to Philadelphia, his ties to Camden, New Jersey. It's just really strange that he somehow just comes out to backwater, redneck, hillbilly heaven, Sandpoint, Idaho, and sets up shop. I find that very strange in many ways. You just don't see it every day that somebody from the Eastern establishment just suddenly has to come out and, come into the backwoods, so to speak. So there's a lot of anomalies going on here that I don't want to judge, but something is definitely wrong here. To have these videotapes, this priceless testimony by Gunderson, opening up his 20 plus years of research files, to have them all just disappear by a major hack, that caused that to go in and be wiped out it's got some eyebrows being raised right now. Trust me. Mm-hmm.
Yes, when I was investigating real estate fraud basically across the country, and certainly when I was investigating it and reporting it, people weren't paying attention. Since then, millions of people have lost their homes, and this is all a continuation of the same fraud. It was brought to my attention that someone who had been in touch with Patrick Fitzgerald, who operates out of Illinois, the federal prosecutor, was warned, go after anybody, go after anything, but leave CPS alone or you get a bullet between the eyes. That was a comment made to him. So people who have, and there have been people across the country, thousands of people complaining that they've had their family stolen from them. Their children have been taken away. They've been unjustly accused of any number of violations, abuse violations. You yourself had a confrontation at one point with CPS in your area for reprimanding one of your family members. You recounted that on several shows, I think on my show as well. Yes. And so this is a very sensitive area. When you look at the number of children who end up missing, when you look at the number of women, some pregnant, often pregnant women are missing, and they're found months later, stomachs torn open or wombs torn open, the baby missing, or signs of some ritual having been performed, not to mention the ones that they don't even find. You see, this is dark. It's satanic. And we point that out.
Well, Don, we do. And one of the very sensitive things in this conference with that I referred to, Gunderson brought this point up, how his research into the finders, the investigations of missing and abducted children, the dovetailing into CPS, Child and Protective Services, and the sharing of information on a nationwide scale, he said very likely was the main cause for the assassination murder of Nancy Schaefer and her husband there in Georgia. These are the type of things that were discussed almost like a debriefing on an FBI table. Okay, in this videotape session. Yeah, Don, very important information was brought out, and like I said in my presentation, this is the underbelly of the beast. If America could just get a handle on what we talked about in this conference, if America and the press could really fully grasp the breadth and scope of this problem, I guarantee you there would be a revolution tomorrow. I promise you. Because they just, the media's kept this hugely under wraps. But here I'm going to say it, okay, Don, I'm going to say it again. We're not talking about being hateful when we say the truth here. Since the early days of Babylon, since the early days of the dark practice of the dark arts in the Khazarian kingdom, there was something they do on as many as 8 black Sabbaths day, 8 pointed star of the wheel of Babylon year. These 8 ritual murder dates, they sacrifice humans. It's called blood libel. It's called Jewish ritual murder, ladies and gentlemen. And you think that sounds like something out of the Ku Klux Klan or some neo-Nazi hate speech? Well, you better think again. Do your own study. I challenge you. Go to your Google search engine. Type in Jewish ritual murder and see what comes up. Type in Jewish blood libel and see what comes up. When I say this, Don, does it mean I hate Jews? Heavens no, because the Jews are, as a people, for the most part, are being abused in this whole thing as well. It's not a specific wide group of people, Don. It's a specific subset.
Yes,
that are doing this
numerous times.
Okay.
Yes,
numerous times. But see, when you start focusing on this group that does this, you get to find out that this has been a recurring problem in this society. This is why you see this ethnic group being kicked out of countries all across Europe.
Yes.
It's because there has been children abducted. And children have been sacrificed, ladies and gentlemen. That is the secret. This is why this group just continues to garner, create problems. Now, if you can't handle the truth, folks, I feel sorry for you. I hate to think this is what's going on, that two individuals of this ethnic group are coming out to attack us because of this topic and this topic alone, Don. I have to say there's a real possibility this is part of it as well. I don't know. I don't know at this point. But
well,
I do
God,
know.
It's not about Atlantis because I'm fairly certain I discovered Atlantis today. So.
Oh, well.
That's interesting. Thank God it's not that topic, huh? Oh, man.
Well, if you discovered Atlantis, take me there.
Well, I have to say, honestly, that I was able to connect the dots through the bankruptcy courts in Cook County, Illinois, and their association with the recorder's office in Maricopa County, Arizona. And it was at that time that I began noticing that there were some anomalies with Salt Lake City as well. And then it was later when I did my Eisenhower research, and I'm repeating myself here, but it's worth bringing up, that I saw immediately the connection with Salt Lake City, because there was a tremendous amount of not just identity theft going on, but there were names being created out of thin air and assigned ranks and commissions in the military, and these people were collecting benefits and funding. In other words, imagine a Social Security check goes to someone that's retired, but that person never lived. Okay, so where does that money come from? How can they honestly account for that person who is not even a person? It's an entity that's receiving the payments and getting assistance all along. Well, it would have to be through certain banks, wouldn't it, that's allowed to happen. And so this became evident. This is the same technique used by the CPS. Identity theft, where the children are taken out of a family, they're put into a foster home, they're going through abuse, and there are numerous accounts of that all the way across the board. You talk to any child that's been in foster care around the country, and 99.9% are going to tell you that they were abused. But that wasn't the focus of my issue. I was tracking the money. I was tracking the identity theft. And all of this arose out of the bankruptcy courts. Wow. It was It was the Promise software developed for the bankruptcy courts that was using that software to catalog all of these transactions that were occurring. Phony divorces, phony division of property, and putting the properties on tax-free documents, shelters, hidden in plain sight, and just amassing this fortune. This is overtaking the country from the inside by illegally, you know, stealing the real estate.
It's funny you should bring that up, Don, because see, that's a good hour or so of Gunderson's videotape testimony had to do with his over 4 months last summer. He spent 3 and 4 days a week with extensive interviews with Michael Riconosciuto, and the forthcoming agenda, and even to the point of naming names in government for the first time. You see now why this has to be done to discredit and to attack now?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, wow.
I don't doubt that. And it doesn't matter if I'm talking about CPS or I'm talking about how they infiltrated the country with communist spies in the early 1940s especially. But this went on 100 years prior to that. You can look at Ellis Island and see the same thing. I've found enough anomalies, but you know, the proof is out there. If you have the determination to find it, you will find it, and you'll be able to connect the dots. And you have done that. I've done that. Ted Gunderson has done that. Many other researchers that we have on this show and that I've heard on other shows have done the same thing.
Well,
we're hitting on all cylinders. That's the problem.
You are. And, you know, in that conference, Ted was very distraught over the attacks that were going on earlier by Horowitz and Cain against him. He was very angry and upset at, you know, what was being said in, you know, months before that. He was working on filing a lawsuit for defamation and joining forces together to fight that. But, you know, we talked about this together one-on-one about the motives and whatnot of this. And I asked him, I said, you know, Ted, you know, what about marrying this ex-wife of LaVey? You know what he told me, Don? He said, it didn't last. Yeah, I did marry her. I was working, you know, on the, I realize now it was thrown in as, again, a Hegelian type of dialectic to keep him away from a certain thing. And this woman has, shall we say, abilities to seduce. He said, I was seduced. I was brought in as thinking she was a victim that needed to be protected, wanting to get out of a satanic situation. I was trying to protect her, and I began to realize that she was not really, you know, this innocent little lamb that needed protecting, that she was there to destroy him and to, you know, it was like a double entity inside of her. So he got out of the situation. Okay. That should be a big plus on his resume, not a negative. You know, what I'm publicly saying here, Don, is okay. Yeah. He married her. He's not married to her now or never, you know, it didn't last. It was a short term thing.
He supported her children too.
Yeah. You know, Ted Gunderson, I'm here to tell you folks, is a good man. He's driven by principles of morality and honesty. I'm absolutely convinced of that. Seeing him in, you know, heart to heart, man to man conversations where he weeps, his heart is tender. He's a good man. He deserves a medal, not this mudslinging. It's just a tragedy. I, you know, on my blog, Don, if you go on and read the latest, I'm going to leave it there. You know, I took Horowitz's real strongly worded demand letter of me, demanding that I do all. Nine tenths of that letter I cannot do because it's false. I didn't send emails to Coast to Coast. I don't have an alias, David Main. I can't answer to the things I don't do. And if you think I'm going to confess to something that I didn't do, you know, that's creepy. But then he says, tell us your relationship with Ted Gunderson. Okay, yeah, I am proud to say that I'm a colleague and friend of Ted Gunderson. I am proud of that. His record stands for itself, ladies and gentlemen. You know, that's, again, Don, you know law enforcement, you know the FBI. Sometimes, you know, you hate to do it, but to catch a thief, you got to work and make a deal with a thief in many cases. Sometimes it's, you know, you have to sleep with the enemy to get the top enemy under, you know, put away. It's deals that have to be made. That's the way it works. You know, Ted has told me there is deals that made him a little feel dirty at times, but it was for that end result that was the best thing. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you have to go capture a boar. You got to go in there and tie up the sows and get muddy first. You want to get down and get a little dirty to get the big tusker put away. And he said, the biggest thing I could ever give my rest of my life to is exposing the horror of the satanic ritual abuse and child kidnapping and marketing. Now, that's the reality. And that's the message I wanted to give tonight to you, Don, and to the listeners.
This is a message that dates back thousands of years on this planet, too. And it's been reported through history, not in the books. You won't find this, of course. This is a dark secret. You know, you didn't write the Franklin cover-up. I didn't write it. You didn't embezzle $38 million from the Lincoln savings either to pay, to fund all of this, the child abductions and the pedophilia that went on. And I think that story, believe it or not, actually just scratches the surface of the problem.
Oh, it does.
This is a worldwide problem, much bigger than the illegal drug trade.
I had a guest a week or so ago, the Mercy House group that are, you know, working to get these children's sex slave rings broken up in Cambodia. You know, off the air when talking to him, 30,000 to 40,000 Cambodian children a month.
Oh my goodness.
At least that many Thai children. Who knows how many Chinese that, you know, the parents come in and say, oh, if I got a pregnancy here with the one-child policy, those that are not spontaneously aborted, that are, you know, found out, those children go into a slave. We're talking hundreds of thousands of children each and every month going into a worldwide cabal, going for bloodlust, for blood libel. I'm telling you, that's real. It's the sickest thing we could, you know, that's, again, it's the underbelly of the beast, Don. It's their Achilles heel. Why do you think Christ gathered the children together when he was doing his mighty work, Don? These little children are the lowest rung of the social totem pole in the Jewish culture of the time. Women and children were not to be seen or heard. But Christ blessed them. He called them together, and he gave them blessings. He's ministered to them in public, which is unheard of. And what did he say? He says, if any of you were to offend one of these little ones, better than a millstone. A huge, imagine this Jewish giant millstone used to grind the grains and corns, hung around your neck and dropped in the darkest sea. Now, in the Greek translation, in the Hebrew originally, the term, that's the English term of offend, has to do with molestation and something like forcible sexual rape. The offend. We're talking, again, children being abused at the time of Christ. We're talking blood libel. And when I talk to people, I talked to a group, you know, the attorneys today. When I laid all this out for them, they said, human sacrifice, you don't really believe that. I said, wait a minute. It's Abraham, the father of this race, they say, it's in the Bible. Abraham was all set to offer up his son as a sacrifice. It didn't go through, but how many times is that happening in these Sabbath days, these Black Sabbaths? And again, we're not just talking about one specific ethnic group here, Don. It's a satanic cabal worldwide that's massive in scope.
Yes. And it's not coincidental that this is occurring in Cambodia, in Laos, and that it probably occurred during the Vietnam War. In fact, there was this big hush to tell all the soldiers and all the airmen that went in and out of Cambodia to deny that they were there. And it came out later. We learned that they were there. But during the time, no, we weren't there. And they'll tell you that to this day. They'll lie through their teeth, telling you that we were not in Cambodia and we were not in Laos. But why? You see, they had targeted many of those. At least 3 million people were slaughtered in Cambodia alone during that time. 3 million people. These are the types of secrets that they don't want out.
So I guess the question must be, and I pose this to my team today, you know, they're looking, this is what's the end result? What do we want to accomplish with this at the end of the day or the end of the month or the end of this year? You know, I had to just come out and I said, my goal is to, you know, to keep being honest and truthful in everything we're trying to do here. You know, we spent about an hour. My counsel went over this issue of the PhD. You know, I said, here's the information. Here's the work I did. Here is my research projects. Here are my seminars and my lectures, which were part of the doctorate being awarded. It's all date and timed and certified and graded. I have a big, huge file of my PhD work. And they looked it all over and they said, well, this will stand up in any court of law. I said, of course it will. It's not accredited. It doesn't mean it's not, that it's phony and not real. You know, I just get frustrated over that part of it, Don. I really do. And I, you know, it doesn't really matter to me. It's an ego thing. If you want to, if you want to call me Mr. or whatever, it doesn't matter. But I demand respect because I've earned it. By God, I've done the work.
Yeah, you're right. You know, in terms of being an audio engineer, I hold no special certification, but I can tell you, I know probably I've forgotten more than most audio engineers know, and I know others like that as well. That learned the business from doing it. And having that be part of one's life makes it a heck of a lot more valuable than a piece of paper that says you're qualified. I met many musical PhDs and engineering PhDs that didn't have the slightest idea of the difference between analog and digital electronics, and or how the human body works, how the human body hears. And I bring that up merely because that piece of paper doesn't give you the ability either.
No.
You see, it doesn't. There's most of the schools have the pedagogues there collecting outrageous salaries and up till the time they obtain tenure, and then they're protected and they can say and do whatever they want.
It's like I told my wife back when I was doing this. She says, "Why are you spending all this time and our money doing this? Is it just to get a, you know, something behind your name to give you more stature?" And I thought deeply about it. And, you know, my answer to her was, "No, it's, you know, you take one thing with you out of this life. It's not your wealth. It's not, you know, your inscribed numbers or letters after your name. You take with you out of this life your experiences, your knowledge, your education, your talents." You know, my answer to my sweetheart was, "Honey, support me in this, because I feel like there's hidden knowledge here that I think I can use to benefit society." You know, of all the people to attack, you know, of all of the weird goings on, the FunVax situation, the fundamentalism, the attack on spirituality gene, Dr. Horowitz, all of these terrible, evil things, and you're focusing on my PhD and me as a fraud, give me a break. When there's people in Fort Detrick, your Jewish brethren, I might add, like Taubenberger and the rest of these guys, that are making deathly attacking viruses, of zombie viruses, of chimera viruses. Where are these things in your rhetoric, sir? You spend a whole 2 hours at conspiracy conference to hack me, to attack me? Is that the best that you can come up with, you and Miss Kane? Please, shame on you people at conspiracy conference for even listening to this garbage, not getting up and walking out of this presentation. You talk about losing credibility, sir. You're doing it yourself. I'm tired. My eyes ache. I've been up since 5 o'clock working on things today, Don. I'm tired. I'm upset. I'm angry, and I'm ticked off. You know, and I'm loaded for bear.
Well, I can understand that. I'm sure the listening audience does too. Those that know your reputation and know your work are appalled by what's being said and what's being done. And the truth will out in the end. That's the one thing that we know. And it shows the amount of desperation out there that the truth is unfolding across the planet. There are a lot of people. There are people listening who have been probably thinking about writing articles and maybe even taking on something like a talk radio show or presenting their research, their findings to somebody else. We keep running into people throughout our careers. Mine's a short one in this regard. Yours is much longer than mine. But you've run into people that confirm the things that you found. And they're not there to mislead you. These are people with good hearts, people who have been harmed, some in instances tortured, some put through the ringer as far as mind control goes. And they have horrific stories, some of them, to share.
Yeah, you know, here's the dichotomy. Here's the real strange irony of this whole thing. Accredited PhDs typically go on to work and research project with accredited universities. Again, going back, I refer the listener to President Eisenhower's farewell address. For good or bad, he gave some pretty good information at the tail end there in his final speech, where he warned about the military-industrialist complex and the takeover, basically, of American free thought and free thinking by this cartel that goes in to control the research universities. I mean, that's part and parcel to, again, this takeover of the military-industrialist complex. My point is, these smart men and women, these doctors of research, are so financially and socially tied and gagged and bound by this industrialist complex that they know in their good hearts, where their conscience resides, that there's something very monstrously evil running things behind the scenes, but they are so captive, so chained, that they cannot and dare not start speaking out. I don't have those type of encumbrances, Don. I don't have this protectiveness of multi-million dollar research grant program to protect. So when I come out and say these things, there's only one other way they can attack me, and that's, again, through the way they're doing it right now. To come out and to basically take your good name through the mud without proof, without any documentation.
See? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's you. That's what's happened here. And again, I feel sad because we had to take this time out of our lives and schedules to go into defense mode. We shouldn't have to do that. Not when there's so many really bad criminals to be exposing here. That's the kicker.
And you know, it would be much more interesting, not just for us, but for our listeners, to focus on some of the things that we discover in our research. You know, I learned very recently, despite what we're told by NASA or any official acknowledgement about life in other parts of the universe, that there are 180 billion planets in the Milky Way galaxy alone determined to have life. 180 billion. Even 180 would be a lot. Okay. But 180 billion planets. And there are others that have been discovered that have been determined to not be at that stage or to have a lower, biologically speaking, form of life. Wouldn't that be an interesting topic to discuss? But then that totally throws a wrench in the works, in the mind control, propaganda, fear-based slave system that's been created on this planet. We can't have the slaves know that there's someone out there that could possibly rescue them, could possibly come here and instill peace, could possibly hold these monsters that make up what you refer to as the beast accountable for all the treachery that's been performed on this planet for thousands of years. They can't have people know that. It's better to keep the people in lockstep, dumbed down, mind-controlled, brainwashed, and in denial, you see.
And their spirituality being shot.
Well, of course, that's Jesus. Ultimately yeah. What it leads to. Ultimately, this is spiritual warfare, which we have said.
You know, we interviewed last Friday, down on my show, this Peter Moon. Since he's been involved with this Radu Sinemar story and the Cesar Brad story of Romania, I've got to tell you, I've noticed a very provocative difference in him as a human being, as a humanitarian. I've seen a huge change come over him. Because, you know, not that he was bad before, per se. He was, you know, we're all in different life mission. But this story of the Transylvania, so-called, the book's called Transylvania Sunrise and then Transylvania Moonrise, it's an incredible story. Do I know it's true? I was asked that by one of my listeners, a doctor friend of mine, who, by the way, is an anesthesiologist doctor, okay? He called me and said, do you believe all this that's in this book? Because he's read both of them. I said, look, I don't not believe it. You know, can I physically go there and see the subterranean holographic hall of mirror or hall of records? I'd love to. Wow, where do I go to sign up? But you see, it's that type of empirical knowledge that this power group cabal just wants to keep away from the people at all costs. They don't want people to know that perhaps, well, what stunning evidence are there that the civilizations of humans began 50,000 years ago, even the star systems from whence they came, the explanation why there's Negroes, why there's Chinese, why there are Khazarians, and why there are different structured DNAs, okay? All these things are supposedly there in this incredible holographic hall of records.
And, you know, when you conduct the genealogies, they lead to the same place, too. Is that by coincidence, do you think?
The Khazari, or so the Caucasus Mountains, mm-hmm. Caucasians. Yeah. No, it's not coincidence at all, Don. And, you know, I've been fascinated from a very young age about these archaeological discoveries that are so strange that they scare people. I was a young boy. I must have been 13, 14 years old with my chaps and my horse and helping my uncles go, you know, round the cattle up in a very wild range in southern Utah. And we came around, we're going up this dry wash, and here's this huge bone sticking out of the wash, and we thought that we found a dinosaur bone. We start digging around, digging it up, and it's definitely an ancient bone that, you know, that's been cut open and exposed. So we call in the experts at the BLM and take a look at it. Next thing you know, the Smithsonian's involved in this excavating. It's not a dinosaur bone, Don. It's a giant human bone. The femur was like 8 foot big. It's a human femur. Doggone 7.5, 8 foot tall. Fee, fi, fo, fum, indeed.
Yes.
The skull, this thing was unearthed, was 4 foot by about 3 foot, and a double row of teeth, 6 digits on the hands and 5 digits on the toes. Come on, are you... Any word of this get out to the press? No. It's all spirited away real quickly to this some little smoky dungeon in the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. somewhere. Don't tell me they don't want people to know the truth.
Well, I did. Well, true, we're out of time. But
We are. It's late, isn't it?
I would love to continue this aspect of our conversation on an upcoming show. Maybe we can do that next week. That would be fascinating.
I would just like to again, who's ever listening to this, that, you know, might want to be a peacemaker. I've issued this out to Jeff Rentz. You know, by golly, I'm a simple kind of guy. You know, I'm country, Don. You know me. I'm a cowboy. I still have my chaps and I still have my saddle. You know, somebody
neck too.
Well, my horse is a little bit old, but you know, I can still ride him. And you know, by golly, you know, it's John Wayne and the shooter says, "But I won't be insulted. I won't be wronged. And I won't be stood on. I don't do these things to others, and I don't expect them to do it to me." Now, you made a mistake, Mr. Horowitz and Ms. Kane. You made a big mistake. Just say you're sorry and go forward. And you know, I'll accept the apology. I don't have to like you. You don't have to like me, but you don't need to be attacking me. Is that a fair deal? Just a simple apology and away we go. I won't, you know, I don't like you, Miss King, but I don't stalk you. And I sure as heck don't want to meet you, okay? You do what you need to do and be done with it. But, you know, let's leave this thing alone now. Let's go on to some, there's a lot better stories to talk about, Don.
Yes. Well, I thank you for coming on the show tonight, and especially under these circumstances. And you'll be in everybody's prayers. I know I hear from people that I know or that I don't know. I hear from people who are praying for you and for your family and for those being wrongly accused of things that they would never dream of doing.
Oh, indeed. Well, God bless you and all those listening who are my friends and understand me and have seen the work. Yeah. You know, I'm transparent as can be. I am really an old country boy, Don. And, you know, I like to get out and hunt and fish and hike and ride my horse and get back to nature a little bit. And that's all that's really important. It's to have peace and to stand up for what's right and honorable in this country, because this country is great because it's good. And we still need to be good. Okay, good night, Don. And
all right, you have a good night. Take care. We'll see you next week here on Evident Footprints.
Good night.
Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's guest, Dr. A. True Ott. You can visit Dr. Ott's website at atrueott.com. That's spelled atrueott.com. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints over at BBS Radio tonight. We had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guests will be Ken Adachi and Z.S. Livingstone. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. And have a good night.